Welcome to the 226th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome, and thank you for listening. I'm probably going to need to change that introduction, because I'm more than just a cardiologist. For the past 2 years, I've run a wellness practice. I do cardiology. I do primary care. I also teach 3 nutrition classes a week to our members that I cook and give PowerPoint lectures to. My registered dietitian, I'm sure you've heard on the podcast, Addie Delaney Meinerich, works with me along with the diva from our cookbook. My mother helps in the nutrition classes, but we put on wellness challenges every month for our members. This month is a football challenge, and it's actually been particularly fun. We give points for exercising every day for specific periods of time. We give extra points for planks. Getting your 10,000 steps in and so forth so that everybody can participate. There's activities that everyone can do some version of, and we've had a particular fun this week with a plank challenge. We have Ohio State fans doing planks on Ohio State golf carts on top of the roof. We have Michigan fans doing planks on the canal in Michigan garb. I did one in my Jamie Delaney tri suit on a John Deere tractor because I use a John Deere tractor to do my yard. Addie Delaney Meinerich did one decorating her car on top of her 4Runner with a WVU and University of Houston flag because those are her favorite teams and mine too right now. So we had all kinds of fun, people posting and cheering on and doing kind of things. So it's so much more than a medical practice. I don't even call my patients anymore. They're members because we're a community together, becoming healthy and seeing just how well we can be. I review literature with them in our classes, just like I do here on the podcast. But we have great discussions on being the early innovators and new people taking on this plant-based challenge and to discuss, things like how do you eat out and, you know, how do you react to other people. People's criticism and, you know, how do you stay on the wagon? So it's great fun, and I couldn't be more happy than to have a practice, and I'm very grateful to have people surrounding me that are so enthusiastic and motivating. It's I look forward to coming up with new things to discuss with them, you know, each week. We have a conference every year. It's a plant-based wellness conference. This year will be the 5th year for the plant-based wellness conference, and it is located in Punta Gorda, and we bring speakers in this year. We're going to have some fabulous speakers. Karen Hartglass from It's All About Food and Pam Popper will actually be at our conference, but we've decided to actually offer to 7 people the opportunity to spend 7 days with us. And we're going to start this immersion program for those people that would really like to step up their game. Maybe you're just becoming plant-based. Maybe you've struggled on and off and just can't get it right. We want to help people get their exercise part of their wellness down. So we're going to be joining them every day. Addie and I will be participating in running, walking, and talking with them in the morning. As the sun comes up, we'll have our class, nutrition classes and cooking demonstrations. We'll also have yoga and Pilates and kayaking and paddleboarding because in March in Punta Gorda, it's sunny, the skies are blue, and it's a great time to be outside. We'll have excellent plant-based breakfasts and dinners and lunches. And we'll also be providing personal consults in the beginning of the week and at the end of the week with these people to see where they are starting and review their blood work and any health problems, help them come up with a plan for the future, help them start to implement the plan for the week. And then at the end of the week, we'll check in with them and give them the send off. The final day will be our conference. That'll be part of the package. And they'll come and listen to our conference where we have, the guest speakers, cooking demonstrations, questions and answers, as well as, plant strong breakfast and lunch. So, there are only going to be 7 slots. It's going to be at the Wyvern Hotel, which is a luxury boutique hotel. It will be hands-on, so you won't be somebody in the back of the room. We do want people that are interested in upping their game. So if you're up for the challenge, we would love to meet you. We're going to be posting the details of this on the website soon. If you want to call the office or email me at jamie@drdelaney.com for further information, you can. But again, we're going to just limit it to 7 people so that we can give them our utmost attention for the week and see just how high we can help them set the bar for themselves. So as for me, I'm officially into the taper for the Ironman Chattanooga, which is going to occur September the 28th. What does tapering mean? Well, it means that I'm not going to do any more 100-mile rides. I'm going to do probably a half marathon and probably a 50-mile ride this weekend, tropical depression permitting. And I still do the same workouts during the week. I'm not doing 2-a-days anymore. I'm trying to get my speed work in. I'm loving the 10 times 40-second pickups followed by the 3-minute intervals at 5K pace. Having a lot of fun doing that. Doing some hills on the Zwift and trainer. But otherwise, you know, we live in a flat, windy area, so the winds are my hills. The backyard garden is somewhat stagnant. We have some peppers going and some herbs, but the trees are, you know, everybody's just hanging out. We still have some papayas. I started micro greens this week, and I'm really excited about doing those. I've started with broccoli, and they're coming up nicely, and I sprouted them on coconut coir, which is basically pulverized coconut husk, and they've come up nicely, so I'm going to add those to my nutrition, along with the kale and lettuce that we get off the tower garden, and of course, there's some hot peppers there. So it's a tower garden season for a little bit more. Tomatoes are coming up, but it's not quite harvest time. We're getting ready to enter our second growing season here in Florida. It was actually cool this morning in the water for the first time. There's a little breeze in the air, so it's kind of exciting. We can kind of feel fall. If you've lived in Florida long enough, you start to feel a little change in the air, a little change in the wind. You get that sensation of fall, so it's exciting. So exciting that we decided to have fall breakfast at our nutrition classes. So we did pumpkin pancakes on Monday, pumpkin walnut pancakes from our cookbook. If you haven't got the cookbook, head on over to the website or Amazon and pick that up. Plant-based wellness cooking, 3 generations, the doctor, the dietitian, and the diva. And then today we did, from the cookbook again, Teff pancakes. So the secret ingredients is a little cacao powder in those and a banana. And we did, instead of a syrup, we did a peach puree to put on top because white peaches are in season right now. So we did white peaches with a little bit of soy milk and a couple dates. Made a great topping for those Teff pancakes. So they're very hearty. If you haven't had Teff, it's a whole grain, a dark grain. So lots of fiber, lots of iron, magnesium, and just a really nutrient, mineral-dense grain that we love to eat. I hope that everybody that listens to this podcast is going to go to their local theater on Monday to watch The Game Changers. It's truly going to be one of those movies like Forks Over Knives that's going to get a whole bunch of people jumping on to the Plant Strong wagon. You know, there'll be a power strength lifter, you know, a UFC fighter, baseball team, football team, cyclists, a whole host of athletes that have upped their game being plant-based. I really can't wait to partake in the movie here in my town. We're going to have a packed theater, I hope. You know, when you see athletes and you think, boy, they could get, you know, one just a little bit further if they were in a little bit better shape. And I've always asked, I've done coaching most of my life. Not that I've been a stellar athlete, but I've coached basketball and I've coached track. And of course, I've been to my fair share of games, always being a sports advocate. I was a golfer growing up and then, you know, became a runner and triathlete as I became more of an adult. And I'm an observer of people. And you see all these people out playing sports and really wanting to strive and to, you know, to be good at their game. And yet they never think about nutrition. And nobody really does when you think about it. We were joking today in nutrition class that, you know, when I was a cardiology fellow, I used to eat ho-hos on my way to work, you know, and a cup of tea because it was calories that kept me full and it tasted good. And that was the only thing that I considered at the time. And so did most of my colleagues. If it tasted good and you could get it down quick, and you could move on. And that's really where most of America sits today. Unfortunately, things are so calorie dense, and as people move less and eat more, the calories start to pack on the pounds. But not only are the calories packing on the pounds, but all the chemical ingredients and all the byproducts are packing on the toxins. And when we pack on the pounds, we store the we store fat and we store toxins in those fats. So we store heavy metals and various byproducts of this junk food into our cells. And then we wonder why our bodies start to not function correctly. And we see people, you know, typically that are finicky about what they're eating is, you know, they're not enjoying life. And those poor people that have to, you know, eat a certain way, or you can't have this or you can't have that. And it couldn't be further from the truth. The idea and the game changers, it will start to highlight that, you know, what you eat is going to affect your performance. And maybe it's my, you know, hopefully it'll be my secret at the Ironman coming up, you know, that my performance and my recovery is always better than most people's because of the inflammation leaves my body very quickly after an event like this. But hoping my performance will be better than some people that have been eating nasty, junky food. There was a study that came out this week looking at endothelial reactivity. And when we think about endothelial reactivity, the endothelium is the single cell or lining of the blood vessel. And that endothelial cell secretes nitric oxide and the blood vessel dilates. So blood vessels everywhere, to your brain, to your heart, to your muscles. And so when you go to do something, you need blood flow to your muscles. You need less blood flow to your gut. And so your arteries dilate. And they dilate as a result of one of the results of nitric oxide production. But as people age, the blood vessels become damaged with plaque and deposition of inflammatory compounds as well as cholesterol and fat under that endothelial layer. And the endothelial layer ceases, or the amount of nitric oxide that's secreted markedly goes down. Well, you say, well, that's okay, but I'm 20 or 30-some-year-old athlete, and you know my endothelium is probably okay. Not necessarily, because it doesn't just happen overnight. The endothelium starts to be damaged early on, especially if the blood vessel is being bathed in, you know, high triglycerides and fat and toxins all the time. But more than that, a lot of foods actually cause endothelial dysfunction without ever having the endothelium damaged in the first place. So there was a great study done at the University of Maryland where they gave young medical students an egg McMuffin, and they did this endothelial reactivity looking at the brachial artery, which is the artery in the forearm, and they noted that just giving somebody a high fatty meal, whether it was an egg McMuffin or a hamburger or chicken or even olive oil, canola oil, cottonseed oil, that it caused the blood vessels to abnormally constrict instead of dilate. And it lasted for several hours. So if you take that back to an athlete that's doing a pre-competition meal or with some fatty meat or, some fatty pastry, perhaps for breakfast, that they can actually have endothelial dysfunction and they won't get the blood flow that they need. But even more importantly, after a competition or after a workout, if the recovery involves oil or something fatty meat, animal products, then they're going to have this dysfunction of this endothelium, not get the vasodilatation, not get the blood flow where they need to be, not even get the blood flow that they need to get to the gut to actually absorb any nutrients that they might come in contact with. So again, recovery, absorption of nutrients, antioxidants is decreased blood flow, And, you know, again, more inflammation builds up. And so this is going to ultimately decrease someone's recovery in subsequent performances, the risk of injury to get blood flow to an injured tissue or recovering tissue decreases. So it's all going to make a huge difference in somebody's athletic performance. When I see the commercials of, you know, drink milk, it's the perfect recovery drink, or that you need, you know, whey protein or something like that, it sickens me. One, you know, it's a high dose of estrogen and growth hormones, things that we don't need. The protein is toxic. Casein protein, as most of you know, is associated with the increased growth of tumor cells such as breast cancer and prostate cancer and various other cancer cells. It's highly inflammatory. It's highly acidic. So that's really not, yes, it's calories. If you put chocolate syrup in it, you know, you get more calories. There is protein in it. So what, and some of those amino acids that break down from that protein aren't so good. You get lactose, which most people can't absorb. So they end up getting GI distress and, who knows what done to their colon their colon cells, as far as being leaky gut and absorption. But nobody tends to you know, blame the dairy products for some of the belly pain that athletes actually experience. So hopefully the Game Changer is going to show people that, you know, by changing your nutrition, you know, in triathlon, we always say nutrition is the fifth the fourth sport. You know, you have swim, bike, run, and nutrition. And anybody that's done an endurance event, if your nutrition's off, it throws everything off. If you can maintain your nutrition and, you know, continue to have your gut accept calories, then things go much, much better. So there's a lot to be learned from the Game Changer. Hopefully, you know, people will see professional athletes doing well and, you know, think about changing their ways and coming over to our camp to learn how to be plant-based. I had somebody ask me, well, you know, I work out and I don't want to lose any muscle mass. So if I were to become plant-based, you know, I'm afraid that I would lose muscle mass. And this person actually had Crohn's and intermittent flares and was afraid of beans and whether they would be able to tolerate, you know, the bean absorption. So I did a really little quick workout. You know, we usually say women need about 40, 45 grams of protein, men about 50, 55 grams of protein. And so if you just do a fairly low-calorie meal or a low-calorie day with, you know, a half a cup of oatmeal and fruit and then a potato and, you know, a baked potato and some vegetables and then a cup of quinoa at night and some more vegetables so that you get five pieces of fruit and about five cups of vegetables along with a tablespoon of chia seeds, that gets you to 47 grams of protein, like right there. That's without any kind of seconds. That's without any beans at all. Obviously, if you add a cup of black beans, you get 14 more grams of protein. If you doubled up on the, you know, the quinoa rice and add some more vegetables in there, you know, you can markedly get that protein up very easily. And people say, well, what about plant protein versus animal protein? Well, protein breaks down into amino acids. And the plant protein amino acids are just the same as the animal proteins. They're in somewhat different percentages, but they're all there. So you have the availability of all the amino acids, the nine essential amino acids. You probably have less of some of the sulfur-containing amino acids to some degree as far as a percentage, which is a good thing because they're more inflammatory. We know that people that eat a low-fat diet actually end up getting more omega-3s, and their decreased omega-6 intake results in adequate conversion of omega-3s into the longer-chain fatty acids, so all is well. So a low inflammatory diet, a high alkaline diet, beautiful for recovery. So there's absolutely no reason for anybody to worry. And if you can, you know, if the bigger you are, the more you eat. The more you eat, if it's 10% of your calories and you eat, you know, 3,000 calories, that would be 300 calories, you know, divide that by four. And, you know, you have a big a calorie, you know, you have a big protein gram load. So the more, you know, it's according to what you're doing and what you're exercising. And that brings me to another point when people, you know, some of my colleagues and people that are on the internet, you know, everybody wants people to be plant-based. We all do. We'd like everybody to eat fruits and vegetables and whole grains. But sometimes we push the limit a little bit when we say things like, you can eat as much as you want. Because some of us have are a little less mindful than others. And we can't eat as much as we want or as much as we did when we weighed a lot. So a 5-foot person doesn't need as many calories as a 6-foot person. You know, a man needs more calories because of increased muscle mass than a woman needs most of the time. It depends on their amount of activity and exertion. Certainly, you know, a gymnast is going to burn through a lot of calories. An elite runner or swimmer is going to burn through a lot of calories a day and can eat many more and, you know, have to be cognizant of that to make sure they get enough calories in. If they get enough calories, they get enough protein in. But if you start to think about a sedentary woman for the most part that's maybe exercising an hour or two a day doing walks and housework and things along that, they need a lot less calories. And so year after year, day after day, if you overeat calories, then the weight starts to go on. And when the weight starts to go on, the fat becomes hormonally active. It can change when you're hungry or how you're full. It can, it's very inflammatory. It can be, you know, people that are overweight have an increased risk of cancer, as well as diabetes and heart disease. So it's not benign by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, what about the plant-based stuff? Well, carbohydrates are 4 calories per gram, where fat is 9 calories per gram. So certainly you can eat more. Plant food and fruits and whole grains have fiber, so you tend to fill full because it fills up more of your stomach. But you can make it so it doesn't. If you make a lot of hummus or guacamole or do a lot of floured products, those things are calorie dense. You know, if you make mashed potatoes instead of a baked potato, or you dice everything up so it's nice and small, and you continue to dribble in calories all through the day, you can overeat. I used to tease people that a manatee eats 1,500 calories a day, all in romaine lettuce and Moat Marine here in Florida. And it's true. So if you're grazing like a cow does, just on grass, you know, a cow weighs a lot. So, you know, you can't eat all the grass that you want without becoming as big as a cow. So you have to be mindful about what you're eating. It's not, you know, life is not like a cow that, you know, the only purpose is to, you know, eat and make another cow. We, you know, hopefully have other purposes in our life, but we do, you know, as humans enjoy the fellowship of eating together or having a meal or preparing a meal. And so we should make it special and celebrate that meal as opposed to just drip in calories all the time. You see the ads for fast foods at night, you know, and how great they are and people love them, yet you see people woof them down in their car. If they, you know, were so great and should be savored so much, they shouldn't actually be woofed down in the car. Or you see now people being delivered fast food, which is even worse. So they've been on their couch watching TV and they're going to get this high calorie meal served to them. But you still have to be, you know, again, back to the plant-based eating, you still have to be mindful about what you're eating. And you know, and I would suggest that you prepare a meal that's nice to look at, you know, that you would happily serve your house guest. I think you should be as important as your house guest. People say, I don't have time. I think you should make time. We make time to brush our teeth. We make time to sleep. So it's worth that prep time to have a nice breakfast, to be able to, you know, make the oatmeal and top it with some fruit and top it with some chia and sit down at a table and eat it and enjoy the breakfast, you know, and then go on with your day. And the same thing with lunch, you know, make it so that it's picture worthy, that it's, you know, it's a pretty bed of greens with a potato on top and multiple vegetables. It doesn't take that long to cut things up. I actually go home at lunch every day and cut up my vegetables to put on my salad and add beans and rice that I've already made and warm them up. And, you know, I can turn it around and be back in the office within an hour lunch break. If I don't go home, you know, I bring everything ready to pop in the microwave and ready to go. So it just takes a little bit of advanced preparation. When you go out to dinner, if everything came to you just slopped, looking ugly, you know, you would be offended. So I don't know why people tolerate feeding themselves that way. You got to remember you're special. And, you know, when most people are asked, their health is the most important thing that they have. You know, they really, you know, that's the most thing. If you're not healthy, then you can't help anybody else and you can't take care of anybody else. You can't enjoy life. You have to have your health. And there's no amount of money that can fix a broken body once it's broken. So most people, you know, are very grateful for the health of themselves and the health of their family and would give anything to maintain that health when asked the question. But the biggest thing you can do to maintain your health is to eat this nutritious diet, and that's where we completely have this disconnect. As long as food tastes good and it's easy to get and it fills me up, then that's where it stops. And so, you know, all you plant-based eaters out there, I would challenge you to let's change that movement back into, you know, that eating is an experience. It's a time to be grateful. It's a time to take a time out from our busy day. You know, if you go back to what we've talked about as far as sympathetic and parasympathetic tone, you need parasympathetic tone to actually digest your food. You want to divert blood flow to your gut. That's done by our autonomic nervous system. We don't have to think about it, but certainly digestion is much better if you can sit down and your heart rate and your blood pressure comes down and it's a nice, calm environment and you're breathing very nicely and you're happy and you're enjoying your mood as opposed to driving down the road, trying to get from place to place, just grabbing something to eat for the sake of taking in calories. You're not going to digest that well. You've not had that little bit of time to come down and, you know, relax into a nice lower heart rate. So, again, it just contributes to your ill health as you go along. So, you know, that's something to try for next week is to see if you can't make your meals picture worthy. And if you want to send me a meal, that picture, I love it. I love looking at food on Instagram. Tag me in some of your plates. I try to put up a fair amount of my plates on Instagram. I know people probably get sick and tired of looking at them, but it gives me ideas. When I see other people's plates, it gives me ideas for what to do, or it triggers new things to do with vegetables that I like. One of the biggest hurdles that we have is when people become plant-based, how do they stay plant-based? How do they not fall off the wagon, so to speak, when they have to join friends to eat out, and friends want to eat at greasy restaurants and there aren't any options? And do you risk losing your friends, losing your husband over your nutrition? And it is difficult when someone becomes aware of their health, 25 years into a marriage and the other partner hasn't, or the friends that you have are you know, oblivious to what they're eating. It's all about the taste and filling them up. Or, you know, it's all about rich food that, you know, maybe the so-called French cuisine with, you know, high oils and fat. And, you know, having the idea that, you know, we're eating a very rich diet, rich in cost, you know, and therefore we'll be okay. And the reality of it is, you know, roasted duck is no safer than a McDonald's hamburger when it comes to what it does to your arteries. So what do you do with, you know, those people that, you know, you try to get by with because, you know, you're a bore if you're going to eat the salad and whatever. But I think it comes down to it that you have to decide what's really important to you and be truthful. And I think that we've come so far away from the truth that we don't even we lie to ourselves half of the time. And I think we lie to ourselves. You know, I've had people that I know aren't honest with themselves. They don't check their glucose, so they don't have to confront their own elevated blood glucose, so they just choose to ignore it. They may blame company that's there, but the reality of it is they don't want to face dealing with their ill health in front of their, they're embarrassed, that they don't want to deal with their diabetes or their fallacies, you know, their weaknesses in front of other people. And that's a lot to do with the people that go out. They leave their prescriptions in the medicine cabinet, and they go out and do what they want. And if they never talk about being unhealthy, then they can just enjoy themselves. But when somebody starts to eat healthy, then that brings back what they probably should be doing. On the other hand, if you were completely truthful with those people, you can talk about your health problems. And, you know, my grandmother used to say, if everybody put their laundry out, you want to bring your own in, meaning that if you talk about your health problem, you're not alone. Everybody at the table most likely has a health problem or knows a family member that has a health problem that is worrying them that they wish they didn't have. And maybe they don't have a way out. And so they're hiding from their health problem just like you're hiding from your health problem or weight problem. So somebody has to be the one to be honest. Not telling the truth, not saying something is just as much as a dishonest behavior as saying something false in my mind. And not paying attention and then saying, I can't remember, to me is a falsehood. It is an embarrassment to themselves that they deny what they're actually thinking. So I think the first step is to really be mindful of what you're doing and to be honest with what you're doing and what the problem is. You have to identify the problem before you can actually take a step to make it better. And not only identifying the problem, but actually making a statement, you know, that backs it up. You need to tell the people that you go out to dinner with, this is not serving me well. I can't eat here. I'd be happy to eat at this location where I can get a baked potato or vegetables, but I can't and I will not give my money to a restaurant that serves me oily food that's unhealthy. And it's unfortunately not only unhealthy for me, but it's unhealthy for you as well. And so even though you're paying for your own meal, I'm certainly not going to buy you unhealthy food, but if you're paying for your own meal, I still, in good conscience, have trouble watching you have choices like this. So can we please eat someplace else? And I think if somebody doesn't understand that, they're really not your friend. And if they really can't come to a compromise that we can eat someplace where we all can get something, they're really not your friend. And then you have to rethink, is this a relationship that I truly want anyway? And as far as the restaurant, I am in no, there's just no way in the world I'm going to give my money to a restaurant that doesn't care about my health choices when it comes to my food. If I ask, you know, if they can serve me without oil or salt, and if they don't want to, then that's fine. It's their choice. They don't have to serve me. But I also don't have to go there, and I'm certainly not going to patronize them. And, you know, as this little plant-based movement continues to grow and we patronize places that are willing to serve healthy plant-based food, then it'll continue to grow. But if you don't care enough to ask or demand it, then they're certainly not going to care enough to change it. And the only way people are going to change if it hits them in their own pocketbook. As long as insurance is paying for people's health care bills and they have this sense that, you know, somebody's going to pick up the pieces, they can continue to ignore their health. But until somebody says, you know what, the truth is what we eat is actually hurting us and we need to stop. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. Friends don't let friends do drugs. Friends don't let friends get in dangerous. They try to help them. And nutrition is one in which we need to do as well. So to just give up and compromise your own health in order for your friends not to have to address their health or you not address your health is not honest. It's not a lie. Because once you know better, that if you keep doing it, then nobody's winning. Nobody's winning when they do it. It's somebody else's choice to do what they want, but you don't have to directly, you don't have to have your own health affected by it. So if somebody wants to smoke, you know, are you going to sit in the smoking section of a restaurant or, you know, sit outside with them so that they can smoke? No, you don't want to be around it. So the same thing goes, you know, when it comes to patroning a restaurant, that you're not going to expose yourself to the things that you don't need to expose yourself to. And you just have to take the first step. You just have to say it like it is and come clean and be humble and take that first dinner. You know, the first dinner, I'm not going to eat this way anymore. And then you take the next dinner. So you're not looking at, you know, 50 pounds down the road or 100 units of insulin down the road. You're just looking at the next meal. What can I do to help my health in the next meal? And what can I do to make it look good and taste good? Because all those things are possible. That's the best part about eating plant-based. It's all beautiful. It's all colorful. It all tastes good. And it can be very fun. And it needs to be fun. This is not about I can't, but I can. You know, I can do so many more things because I don't have inflammation. You know, I heard somebody today say that they had a son that lived in California. And it's just too hard to go see him because, you know, walking through the airports and all the walking that you have to do, and it's just too hard. And it's like, you know, that is such a shame because this person wasn't very old. And if they just take control of their nutrition and get things under control, then they could be going to California to see their family and interacting with their family. So, you know, you should never be limited by these lifestyle diseases. They're all completely reversible. You just have to identify the problem and what are we going to do and what's the plan. And I think you keep it positive. You spin it positive. You know, one thing after another, all the things that you can do, not all the things that you can. I really don't like it when people talk about, you know, don't eat anything that tastes good. You know, I really like that, but can't have that anymore. Can't have this anymore. Can't go here anymore. No, it's what you can do. You know, you can get off the ground. You can run a 5K. You can run a marathon. You can see your grandkids. You can play with your children. You can put a beautiful meal on the table and have your friends over. They'll come over if you're cooking, you know, make that beautiful meal, with vegetables and fresh herbs, try something different, you know, try the microgreens. It's quite fun. I got to say that, you know, I went through college and done my biology and plant biology. And, you know about chlorophyll and the sun and things turning green, but it has been such fun to watch these little seeds germinate on this coconut mat and spring up, and then they're yellow. And 4 hours after I put them on the windowsill, they turned green and they all stood up and started leaning towards the sun. Then I turned them around and they leaned the other way towards the sun. You know, it's a beautiful food that, you know, starts out with the seed with its own enzymes, and all the nutrients packed in this little seed that blossoms and then uses the sunlight to produce even more nutrients. So it can be so fun. And it's a great thing to do with your kids. You know, it's in them to learn. If they're growing the microgreens on the windowsill, they're going to be much, much more likely to eat these things and taste these things. And they can actually see something alive. You know, if kids knew that their hamburger came from, you know, a dead cow, I don't know that, you know, is, you know, I hope that wouldn't sit very well with them. My secretary told me of eating lunch with her granddaughter, and my secretary had a bean burger, and the granddaughter said, "Ooh, that bean burger looks like somebody already ate it and threw it up." And I said, "Did you ask her? Did you say, well, where did that hamburger come? It's like a thigh of an animal that was put in a meat grinder, and you're okay with eating that?" You know, because I think if kids knew more about the meat grinder and what happens to the animals that they ate, and they learn more about the beauty of the plants that you can grow, it would be a no-brainer. And, you know, a much, much less violent and a much more pleasant and positive society we would have. So think about that, what you can do with your kids to pass it along. You know, you don't have to force plants down, you know, on their plate. You make pretty plates, let them participate in it and grow microgreens and sprout, and great things will happen. So I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you get outside and enjoy yourself one mailbox at a time. Keep moving. Push yourself a little bit further than you did. Have a plan. Make a goal that you can set. If you'd like to join us at our practice, we'd love to have you in our weekly challenges. And again, think about coming in and spending a week with Addie and myself and my staff and having personalized attention to get you on the path to being very healthy. We went over, you know, a list today of all the people in the practice that have had these amazing turnarounds in their health, and they're doing so well. And I'd like to share it with more and more people. So give me an email at jamie@drdelaney.com. And in addition, tomorrow, which is Saturday, September the 14th, Addie Delaney Meinerich will be at the Sprouts in Houston. You can get on Facebook at naturallyrootednutrition.com. I'll get the link on the show notes so that you can go meet Addie and get a copy of your plant-based wellness cookbook signed. She's going to have some samples from the cookbook to taste. And so join her in Houston and the Sprouts in Pearland area. I'll have the correct address in the show notes. But I look forward to seeing or hearing about you meeting Addie, and get a picture and post it on the Facebook, and have a great weekend.